So, 1 Kings, or 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. So, who's Solomon? Who knows who Solomon is? He's a king. Sorry? David's son. That's right, yeah. So, he's David's son, king of Israel. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because a temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burnt incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this, and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in obedience to me and keep my decrees and commandments, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the ark of the Lord's covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. So please keep that passage open. We're going to think about that together. This is one of the great stories in the Old Testament. It's from the book of 1 Kings. What is 1 Kings about? Mark, sorry, could we have that slide, the first slide up? Here we go. That's the page at the beginning of your Bibles that shows the different books. And the books of 1 and 2 Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings show the time where it's very clear that God's word is in charge of all of history. And he gives his people rulers. So in the time of 1 and 2 Samuel and the books of Kings, it describes different rulers, different kings. He promised David of Bethlehem that one of his sons would be rulers forever. And Beth's reminded us that Solomon is David's son. He's part of this story. It says that in verse 6. Solomon answered, "You've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David." So Solomon is David's son. Solomon wanted to honour God. That sounds good, but unfortunately he didn't do what God said. So in verse 5 it said, it's verse 3. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the instructions given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. That was against the instructions. But even though he's not doing what God has told him, God shows love to him. And a couple of weeks ago, Simon, when he was here visiting, teaching us, reminded us, God's love for people is not because we're good, not because we're right. God's love is despite what we're like, even though we're not always good. Our confidence is not from how great our love for God is. Our confidence is from how great God's love for us is. So God is kind to Solomon and appears to Solomon in a dream and says, you can have anything you want. Think of that. An ordinary human being like me or you, and God the Creator says to us, you can have anything. What would you pick? Turn to your neighbour for a moment and say, you know, if you could have anything, what would your wish list be? What would be on your Christmas list if you could have anything? Okay, I haven't got time to go around the room. Hopefully you've had some good ideas. It's a big question, isn't it? You know, if I could ask anything from the God of the universe, we can think big. We can think about big things to ask for. Solomon knows that he is God's servant, and God has given him a very big job. Look at them, verse 7. Solomon speaks. He says, now, Lord my God, you have made your servant, that's Solomon talking about himself, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant, so that's how he's talking about himself, I'm your servant, God, is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant, third time he said that, saying it again and again, that's how he understands himself, give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? He wants God's help for the job that God has for him. The verse we're going to read at the very end of our church today is we're going to encourage each other to go and do the jobs God has for us. We all have a place for God to do. Solomon wants his help for God's job for him. He wants to be able to distinguish between right and wrong, to discern or recognize. And that's, the Bible says, that's the main job of rulers. That's why we need government. Not for education, not to organize the economy, but we need justice. If you were trying to sort out justice, and I'm sorting out justice, and she's sorting out justice, it won't work. It's chaos. We need authorities to bring justice. That's their main job. What would you choose, I wonder? He asked to be able to discern so that he can be the servant of God. He's not thinking that he's the big man in charge of all these people. He's a servant of God. How does he serve God well? He needs the gifts to look after the people. Well, God is pleased with the answer and promises to give him this. And God says what he's asked for, he gives it an extra name, verse 12. Look in verse 12, this is God speaking, I will do what you have asked, I will give you a wise and discerning heart. So this is God's saying, you want to be wise if you're asking for this, and I'll make you wise. Well, what does this mean for us? Here we are today, a long time later, in a different country. What does it mean? Perhaps we might think this, when God appeared to me in a dream, I'll ask for wisdom above riches, and maybe he'll be impressed and he'll give me riches as well. Is that what this story is telling us? Maybe that's true. Hopefully some of you are thinking, that's not how we read the Bible. Because think about who Solomon is. The Bible doesn't say God appeared to every Israelite in a dream. You know, it wasn't special dream night. Everyone had a dream. Everyone could pick their best gift. Everyone was allowed to become judge of the people. Because who is Solomon? Who am I in the story? Solomon is the king. Next slide, I am not the king. Yeah. So we need to think, well, how do I fit in? This is a story about the king getting this special gift. I am not the king. Well, then we have a story about a difficult choice Solomon has to make. He puts into practice this gift that he's asked for, and I'm going to read that now. It's in verse 16. So I'm not going to say the words at the end, but there you go, on the board there it says, from verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him. One of them said, "Pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my baby was born, this woman also had a baby. We were alone, and there was no one in the house but the two of us. During the night, this woman's son died because she laid on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your servant was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, I got up to nurse my son, and he was dead. But when I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I'd born." The other woman said, "No, the living one is my son. The dead one is yours." But the first one insisted, "No, the dead one is yours. The living one is mine." And so they argued before the king. The king said, "This one says, 'My son is alive and your son is dead.' While that one says, 'No, your son is dead and mine is alive.'" Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." Now you're probably wondering, how's that going to help? "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword for the king. Then he gave an order, "Cut the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other." The woman whose son was alive was deeply moved out of love for her son and said to the king, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the other said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." Then the king gave this ruling, "Give the living baby to the first woman. Don't kill him. She is his mother." When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. See, this is Solomon putting into practice the wisdom to discern right from wrong, to make a difficult choice. They can't tell whose baby is who. No one was there in the house, but when these two women were there, no one else was there. It happened in the middle of the night. How is he going to find out? Children, you're back at school this week. And this sort of thing happens a lot at school, doesn't it? Children will come in from the playground, there'll be an argument about football. Someone has brought their new football in, and someone else has kicked it so that it's got punctured, or someone has caused an injury to someone, and there's an argument. How's the teacher going to work out who's right and who's wrong? How can they find out? They weren't in the playground. They've got two children telling different stories. Is one of the children lying? How are they going to be able to work it out? That's the teachers having that job to sort out justice, to discern right from wrong. And often it's very hard for teachers because they weren't there and the children are telling different stories. They don't know what actually happened. Rulers have this problem. Who is telling the truth? Who is hiding something from me? Every time you read a news story, it has these sorts of issues in it, doesn't it? Or many of the news stories we have. What was true? What didn't happen? And in this country, we have many law courts where people argue over these issues and spend weeks and months trying to work out what was true, what really happened. Let me tell you a story about someone being wise. One of our grandchildren came to their mother. So one of my grandchildren came to their mother, and they said that their little brother or sister had hit them with a log when they were in the park or in the garden. "They hit me with a log." So the mother wanted to be wise. What has really happened? How has this come about? Was the older child nasty to the younger one, so the younger one hit them with the log? Would the children tell them what really happened? So ask lots of questions to try to find out. Why was it that the younger one hit the bigger child with a log? And then she thought of a very wise question. The mother said to the older child, "What did you say just before they hit you with the log?" And the older child said, "I said, 'Do you want to hit me with a log?'" So they were part of the problem there, really. But that was a wise question that helped find out what had gone on. Solomon has
thought of a clever way to find out who the true mother is. And what we see from this episode is that wisdom is practical. I think we've got a slide for this. It's not just knowing interesting facts. So Solomon, wisdom from God, is practical. It's useful for life. Tell me this. What is 27 times 37? It's a lot. That's right. It's a big number. Okay, it happens to be 999. Is that useful? Not really. You might be useful in a quiz this week, but you're unlikely to use that very much, are you? But what Solomon has done here is useful for life. There's an argument, and he's dealt with that. He's brought out the truth from it. And the second thing that's impressive here is his wisdom is good for everyone. The wisdom is for all the people, even very lowly women like these women. Often in our society, the people who get have the wealth get the privilege of life coaching. They get the privilege of paying for the best lawyers. But Solomon's wisdom to make good ruling was for even the most ordinary people. I don't know if you've seen this in the news or even around Dagenham, but at the moment there's lots of flags like this going up on lampposts. Have you seen that? What I've read read about this on the internet, some of the people are putting up those. They're putting them up to say we want to be proud of being English because there's good things about England. Well, one of the things that means we can be proud about England is this. Who's that? Angela Rayner. Why has she been in the news? Sorry. She resigned. Why did she? So she was a politician, someone in charge of making the rules, the laws. Why did she resign? A tax issue. Because she broke the laws. She broke the rules. So that's a reason that England is good, is that the rules in England affect the important leaders as well as the ordinary people. That is something that in other countries people think, if only we could have that. That's something that makes England good. Something else that makes England good is that in our culture generally, we recognise where people are oppressed and suffering, we want to help them. So we will welcome refugees who have been oppressed and suffering. That's a good thing in England. England is good when there is fair rules for the great and the rich, as well as the less and the poor, as well as for the refugees. That's a thing to be pleased about when it happens in England. And that's showing the sort of ruling that's here in the Bible. Well, the Bible shows us here the benefit of having a wise ruler. It shows us how good this is. And we see that in a little later in chapter 4. So look across the page to chapter 4. I'm just going to read a few of the verses here. Verse 20. The people of Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand of the seashore. They ate, they drank, and they were happy. If you look down to verse 25, similar idea. During Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel from Dan to Beersheba, so that's like from John O'Groats to Land's End, it's the opposite end of the country, lived in safety, everyone under their own vine and under their own fig tree. They had their own way of supplying their needs. The king was truly wise. So down to verse 29 there, on the right-hand side, chapter 4, verse 29. God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite. I don't know who he is either, but he was famous then. Wiser than Hermon, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. Again, we don't know who they are, but they were famous then for being very wise. And his fame spread to all the surrounding nations. He spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. So Solomon was very famous for his wisdom. He knew all about plants and animals. So it says at the very bottom of the page, onto the next, verse 33, he spoke about plant life from the cedar of Lebanon, great big plant, to the hyssop that grows out of walls, tiny little plant. He also spoke about animals and birds, reptiles and fish. What he's doing there, he's being a true human. That's what God created Adam to do, to learn about the creatures of the world and to learn to look after them. There's no contradiction between learning science and being a believer. It's a very Christian thing to do science, to learn about the creation and look after it. And look at the end again, how impressive Solomon's wisdom is in verse 34. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by all the kings of the world who had heard of his wisdom. All nations, all the kings. And one thing you notice in that verse, he didn't keep his wisdom a secret. Truly wise people share their wisdom. They're generous. It's not just for them. It's to benefit others. Well, what does all this mean for us? What's the relevance for us, the lesson in the story? Remember this idea? I am not the king. Okay, this is not a story saying, I'm going to become a ruler like Solomon and have lots of riches like Solomon and judge the people. The main lesson for us is to see the goodness of having a wise king. And who is the king for believers today around the world? King Jesus. And he is, the Bible says, Solomon messed up. For all Solomon's wisdom, he messed up. And Jesus is more wise than Solomon. That doesn't mean that we here in this room are the richest people in the world for material possessions, but we are the richest people spiritually. And we will enjoy a great new creation with Jesus in the next life. You know, we're not rich materially, but we have the greatest riches spiritually now. And we'll have in the next life. Jesus is wiser than Solomon. A wise king is good news for every one of his subjects. So we can thank God for that. And here's what the Old Testament says about Jesus' rule. Sorry, the next slide. That shouldn't have that. Am I missing? Could you go back? Yeah, here we go. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he hears with his ears. That's what Solomon was trying to do with those women. He you know, trying to tell what had happened, listening with his ears to what they're saying, what he sees. But Jesus' judgment's better than that. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. According to absolute truth, according to the secrets in people's hearts that no one else knows, Jesus is the judge. So God does not mean all humans to be kings who will sort out arguments like Solomon did. But he does mean all his people to be wise for living. So like Adam, we're to learn how to look after the world. Solomon had wisdom to be king, but he also taught wisdom. And in the coming weeks, so from next week all the way up through to the middle of November, we're going to be looking at one of Solomon's books called the Book of Proverbs. And the reason that book is in the Bible is to teach us to be wise. That will mean that we learn to assess complex situations like Solomon did. So things that are complicated, where it's not obvious to tell what is right or wrong, what is good or bad, and to work out what the important things in this situation, and then to make the best possible decisions. Because this world we live in is complex. Some of the decisions we have to make are hard to make. And God means us to grow wise, like Solomon, for our lives. Not to be king. No, we're not all kings in this world, but for our lives, that we would make good choices. So here are the lessons. We have a wise king, thank God. And let's listen to the teaching of Solomon in coming weeks so that we learn to be wise and make good choices too. Let me lead us in praying. Almighty God, we thank you for showing us in this Old Testament story about Solomon how good it is to have a wise king, how good it was for the people of Israel then. And the Bible tells us Jesus is greater than Solomon. We thank you that he's our king. And he's even better at being wise and at ruling us.
Please help us in the coming weeks here in Dagenham Parish Church to learn wisdom for our lives, so that increasingly we would know the best things to choose. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.